Greetings from the McHugh Center, where on this first day of fall, we're back with another installment of the Wahoo Central podcast, our weekly look inside Virginia athletics. I'm Jeff White from VirginiaSports.com. My guest today is UVA linebacker Zach Bradshaw, who, like me, grew up in a rural part of Montgomery County, Maryland. Zach, thanks for stopping by. Glad to finally have you on.
Yeah, no problem. Thanks for having me.
The loss to UConn obviously was a tough blow for the team last weekend. How long did it take for you to move on from that?
Personally, it didn't take very long. From a defensive standpoint, I thought we played really well. The best we've played yet this year. You know, we held them to I guess they had 127 yards rushing, right. I think it was. But they had 50 of those yards on one carry that was, we had made a call that didn't make sense.
The one Coach Mendenhall took responsibility for. He should have changed.
Yeah, they were messing with the personnel, so they'd run someone out, run someone on last minute, and then we're stuck, not in a good personnel or whatever. And he tried to change the call last second, and Quinn was playing, one call. I think some of the other DBs were too. And everyone else was playing another call. Right. So literally there was like two people, over to that backside, and they busted that big run. But, if you take away that big play, they didn't really do much of anything.
They had one touchdown drive. It was 37-yard drive after a turnover and two field goals.
Yeah. And then that was the possession with all those penalties too.
Yep.
So.
Yep. They kept it like two third down penalties.
Yeah.
So. The next opportunity for the team to get its first win comes Saturday at Scott Stadium against Central Michigan. Your parents, I believe you told me once, are from Michigan.
Yeah.
Did you know anything about the Chippewas before you started breaking down film this week?
No, my dad went to Michigan State, actually. So I grew up a Michigan State fan. My whole family, for the most part, is Michigan State fans. I personally didn't know much about Western Michigan at all.
Or Central,
yeah. I get them mixed up.
Yeah.
But
Central Michigan has an outstanding quarterback.
Yeah.
Cooper Rush. I'm sure you've seen some film of him.
Yeah. He's a projected first rounder, I think.
Senior who's putting up huge numbers this year. Does he look as good on film as his hype would lead you to believe?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, he's a great quarterback. He's more of a pocket passer, more of a pro style quarterback. Which is kind of the opposite of what we saw last week. So their offenses are similar in that they run, a lot of power, a lot of stretch, a lot of, double tight kind of I formations. But last week that quarterback was looking to run the ball. Mm-hmm. He'd take 3 seconds to look. It looked like he was looking at his first read and then taking off. Yeah. So we played a lot of spy last week. But this week, he's going to sit in the pocket. And he's going to read the defense. He's going to get to his first read, second read, third read. So, we're just going to have to create a lot of pressure this week to help the DBs.
There are not a lot of college players whose coordinator on either side of the ball is also their head coach. What's it been like for you to work that closely with Bronco Mendenhall every day?
Yeah, it's awesome. And, he's kind of a co-defensive coordinator with Coach Hal.
Right, with Coach Hal.
But just having, his experience and his wisdom that he brings to the table, it's a good feeling to be out there and to know that the head coach is the one overseeing everything that's going on. So, defensively specifically. So
I'm struck when I watch practice by how rarely Coach Mendenhall raises his voice, yet he seems to get his point across, doesn't he?
Yeah.
He's not a screamer.
Not at all. No, I can't really think of any time where he's really raised his voice. And, maybe I'm just kind of accustomed to, a little bit different of a approach. But I think really it's just his history speaks for itself. Where he comes from a place, he comes from BYU. They can't really recruit, like other places can, just because of,
the restrictions
and everything. So, and what he's been able to do there consistently for the past however many years it's been, speaks for itself. So he doesn't need to raise his voice.
Right. You started last year at outside linebacker, and you were fourth on the team in tackles, even though you missed two games with a knee injury. You're now at inside linebacker in the 3-4 that Coach Mendenhall put in this year. How dramatic a change was it for you to go from outside to inside, if at all?
Yeah, it really wasn't that much of a change for me. Basically, my responsibilities are the exact same, where, you know, run first, pass second. You know, coverage responsibilities are the same, you know, playing the seam or playing, you know, the three hook or any, you know, stuff like that. So it really, I mean, the front looks different, you know, and some of the, you know, the calls are obviously different and the reads are different, but it's, you know, it's the same basic position.
You are third on the team in tackles this year. You're also one of the long snappers. What was your background as a snapper before this year? I know you and Richard Burney were kind of pressed into service, right?
Yeah.
Did you do it in high school? Yeah. Did you do it here before this year?
No. So, well, this was the first time I've, you know, ever done it for a coach here. They kind of, Coach Visiglia walked up to me and was like, hey, do you know a snap? And I was like, I guess so.
Did you do it in high school?
I did it all through youth league and then in high school. But I hadn't done it in, you know, 3 years. So, I mean, I don't know.
Like riding a bike?
Yeah, kind of.
So you snap on field goals and extra points?
Yeah.
And
Bernie does on punts.
Yeah. So what was it like being out there snapping the first time in a game? Was muscle memory take over, or was it nerve-wracking at all?
Yeah, a little bit. I mean, I was kind of nervous coming into the game because I hadn't done it in so long. And, you know, I feel like there's way more pressure if you mess up a snap in college than there is in high school. Right. Especially because we were blowing everybody out by 40 in high school, and now, like, every point matters. But once you get out there, I mean, it's just like any other play. You just forget about it and do the job you're sent out there to do.
As I mentioned, you suffered a knee injury late last season, and that set you back in the spring and limited what you can do. Was that frustrating because you got this new coaching staff, you know, new strength and conditioning staff. They're doing all these things, and you're not full go. What was that like in the spring? And took you a while to be healthy enough to pass your tempo run, right?
Yeah, it was super frustrating. I hate running. And, you know, I didn't run, you know, full speed for the first time until like a month before spring practices were going to start. And, I mean, I was in horrible, horrible shape. I was like 245, you know, 16% body fat, just because I couldn't do anything.
Right.
So I spent that whole, you know, winter workout slowly getting, you know, the technique back for running and everything. And then when spring ball started, I had attempted the conditioning test once at that point, and I was nowhere close. So every day for the first two and a half weeks of spring ball, I was down there attempting
on the lower field.
On the lower field, yeah. There's like, you know, three or four other guys.
So you can't even see what's going on in practice down there.
I mean, the only football that I was getting was in the meetings. And, you know, I'm the type of person that I can sit in a meeting, you know, for hours, but I'm not really going to learn how to do it until I go out there and do it. And so that was the most frustrating part, I think, was that, you know, every day that I was down there doing those tempo runs was one day that I was going to be behind everyone else trying to learn the defense.
So you got it on the same day, I think Mark Hall did, right?
He said.
So I know for him, he'd been trying and had been healthy, so it was a huge moment for him. But I'm guessing it was pretty big for you, too, because you can finally start playing.
Yeah, we were, you know, trying to come up with a strategy, you know, have him lead for the first few and then have me lead for the first few. And eventually we figured it out.
The new inside linebackers coach is Shane Hunter, who played that position for Coach Mendenhall at BYU. Shane graduated from BYU in 2011, which means he's not all that much older than you are.
Yeah.
It was a different deal when Mike Archer was your position coach because he had about 40 years of experience in coaching. What's Coach Hunter been like to work with?
He's been awesome. You know, it's nice to have some, you know, someone that's, I guess he graduated, you know, a few years ago, but he was, joke with him, say he was 30 when he graduated. But, you know, I guess, I don't know how old he is. Is he 30 now? Something like that. But still, I mean, he's close enough in age where, and he's fresh out of the game and running the same defense that
we were running. Coach Mendenhall did,
exactly.
Right? Yeah.
So, you know, just his experience. I mean, I've never had a coach that taught me the position that I was playing and played in the same, you know,
for the same head coach.
So I don't think it could have worked out any better for us. You know, he loves to pull up clips of himself playing to show examples of what things are supposed to look like. And we love to make fun of him for that. But, But I mean, it is super helpful to have someone that knows exactly what they're talking about.
One of your fellow inside linebackers is one of your best friends, Micah Kizer. He's a city kid from Baltimore. You're kind of a country boy from Damascus, Maryland. Did you two hit it off immediately when you got here in the summer 2013?
Yeah.
I mean, had you played all-star games together or anything like that?
We didn't plan any all-star games together. We almost did. But we had been – I met him visiting at University of Maryland, like, you know, junior year of high school. So I'd seen him around, and I've seen him different places, right, too. So, you know, you kind of get to know the guys in your recruiting class in your area because you get offers from, the same places. So I knew him coming in, and then our whole class was just really close. I don't know why, but, you know, we all seemed to get along really well together from the jump, so.
You and Kelvin Rainey, Dante Wilkins are the only seniors starting on the defensive side. You played as a true freshman in 2013, and I know you've said several times that was a good experience for when you're happy you're played. But as you see this new defense starting to come together, is there a part of you that wishes you had another year to play with Micah and the other guys next year?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, just I love these coaches so much. And it sucks, you know, showing up in the morning and like, man, I only have so many of these days left. I don't know. It's scary how fast that it's, especially this year. You know, you hear the seniors always saying it's going to creep up on you fast, and then your senior year is going to be here, and then it's going to, you know, go by in a blink of an instant. So, I mean, they weren't lying. It's going by really fast.
You played at Damascus High School, which perennially has one of the best football programs in the state of Maryland. How many games total did you lose in your in your 4 years on the varsity at Damascus?
One, two, three, four, five, six, seven, I think.
Seven in 4 years. I'm sure that's made this even tougher, hadn't it? Not being on winning teams here and probably makes you want to win that much more.
Yeah. I mean, the only losing team that I'd ever been a part of was ever, I think, was my high school basketball team. And we hadn't won we haven't won a state championship since 1949. So I didn't come in with very high hopes for basketball season, but it certainly, you know, was a huge adjustment coming in. And, you know, we went 2-10 that first year and it was awful. And then every year after that, you know, we've been close, but we just, you know, going to a bowl game, but we just can't seem to figure it out. So
there was a teleconference with Alamide Zacchaeus the other day, and he was asked about the mood of the team, and his answer was, from the outside looking in, it probably looks a lot worse than it actually is. But the players know the reality of the situation. The team is 0-3, but they're improving every game, and the morale is high. Is that the way you see it as well?
Yeah, absolutely. So, I mean, any of the previous seasons I was here, when we started losing, you know, just, you know, the way people were talking, the conversations going on in the locker room were not positive. And, you know, you would think you're 0-3, we're having a terrible season or whatever. But, you know, for some reason, everyone's still positive and, you know, we're having fun. You know, even the Oregon game where, I mean, they beat us pretty easily, right? But that was one of the most fun games I've ever played in. Just because we, you know, they were better than us, yes, but we're out there flying around having a good time, you know, playing with your best friends on national television. So I think it's just a mindset thing that's been the biggest change for us.
Your brother Jacob is a freshman defensive lineman at the University of New Hampshire. What advice did you give him about playing college football?
Yeah, so the one thing that I told him was, and this is more of just, I guess, learning how to be coached. So his coach there, I don't know if a screamer is a good word, but he's kind of more old school from what I've heard. We went to church with a kid that played there, was a D lineman. So the main thing that I told him was just ignore the yelling and listen to what the words that are coming out of his mouth, not how
you
he's delivering
some experience
it to
with
you.
That.
Yeah, because that was the biggest thing for me, you know, being a freshman. And being you know, kind of scared of my coach at that time. And I grew to like Coach Sanuta, you know, a lot by the end. But that was the one thing every day I would tell myself was just listen to what he's saying and learn from that. So that was the one piece of advice I had for Jake.
One more family-related question, then I'll let you go. As you mentioned, your dad is a Michigan State alumnus. You grew up rooting for the Spartans. Mm-hmm. What were the two NCAA tournament games between Virginia and Michigan State like for you in 14 and 15? I think I asked you about this for an article once.
Yeah, so, once I had a little recruiting issue with Michigan State for football, and once that happened, I kind of didn't have as favorable of a view as the football program, but I never did lose my love for Michigan State basketball. So, obviously, my dad's rooting for them. Everyone in my family's rooting for them. I kind of, I don't know. I didn't, it's kind of messed up to say, but I didn't really care who won because I was going to be happy either way.
Right.
But Michigan State's been doing all right for themselves in the basketball department.
Team Izzo does all right.
Yeah.
Well, thanks again. That'll do it for this week. Best of luck Saturday and the rest of the way. We hope to see everyone at Scott Stadium on Saturday. Remember to check virginiasports.com and virginiasportstv.com for features and information on our teams and student athletes. And I'll be back next week with another Wahoo Central podcast. Thanks for listening. We'll